Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Yeah, praise God. Let your legacy lives on. That's the great thing about the children of God.
Yes.
You will never really die. Your legacy lives on. Amen?
Amen.
Because your seed continues forever.
Yes.
And that's at least until Jesus comes.
Yes.
Then your reward, of course, you receive it in heaven. I remember there's a song. What's that song? Thank you for giving to the Lord. You guys know that old song? I think it was Ray Bolton, one of those old, and he was talking about how, his little Sunday school teacher led it to the Lord, and he said he gave money to a missionary, and they all came to him in heaven and said, you know, thank you for giving to the Lord, that their lives were changed. And we don't really know how many people we touch in our lives.
Man.
I mean, it's on and on, and it's little things. We don't realize it. I mean, even there's a guy that came to give me some money tonight. It's one of my clients. You know, you always love clients that bring you money, right? But he's not a believer, and his my brother-in-law who fixed the lights, and he is a believer, and they've been praying for him, and they say, my sisters, you know, my older sisters are, I don't like him, but somebody has to be a light to him.
Somebody.
And, you know, I've never shared the gospel with him directly. My life speaks, but he comes here, and then Annis takes over because he loves music, and so we start talking about gospel music and things of God, and you know, he doesn't fit in yet, but I invited him to come to church, and you know, sometimes you just got to get him in the atmosphere.
Do it.
Like, let him see that, you know, the doors don't slam shut when you walk in, like the prison, and you can't get out. And, you know, it's just a matter of a comfort, building a comfort level with some people. And
yes.
I believe he'll come one of these Sundays and or Saturdays or whatever day and allow God to minister to his heart.
Yes.
So just keep praying. His name is Colin. Just pray for he and his wife, Patricia. And then just, you know, believe God for miracles. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to continue to preach on the life of faith. We were talking about, last week, faith for the supernatural. Amen?
Yeah.
The great thing about the gospel, and the, you know, I remember when I read the book of Hebrews, and it said that we have the new covenant that was based on better promises than the old covenant. Remember reading that? When I first read that, I was astonished, first of all, that was in the Bible. Because when you read the Old Testament and see all the great things God did in the Old Testament, the opening of the Red Sea, the bringing the children out of Israel out without weapons, providing for them in the desert, and then once they became a nation, saving them over and over, and I know they were rebellious, but brought them through wars, and in many cases they didn't even have to fight battles, and all the things that they went through. And then you see what Elijah and Elisha did, and the prophets and all the things that happened in the Old Testament. And then I read that and I says, Lord, how is the new covenant better than the old? That was my prayer, because I didn't understand. And then God began to opened my understanding. And the way he began to reveal it to me, well, first of all, he says, you weren't a part of it. That's the first thing. The Gentiles were excluded from the old covenant.
That's right.
Okay, so that's one promise that was better than that one, right? The second promise was that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was not given unto them.
Right.
The Spirit came upon Elijah, but it did not abide with and in them.
Right.
And that's the other thing. And then Jesus said that everyone who believes, power will fall upon that person.
Right.
They didn't have that. Not only that, we don't have to go through a mediator like they had to.
Right.
They could not go to God directly. They had to go through the priest to get to God.
Amen.
Now, unfortunately, the New Testament church in some traditional denominations still think they have to do that.
Yes.
They go through a priest or somebody. And a lot of people in the church still think that the pastor is the go-between between them and God. But that's not that's the Old Testament model. That's not the New Testament model. And the other thing, and this is really what opened my eyes, was that God said in the book of Galatians that the law was a tutor. Until we grew up. and once I saw that, I understood that the law was for the immature because they had to be trained.
Amen.
In the things that were coming that were mature.
Yes.
See, to walk in the Spirit takes, first of all, a maturity that's beyond just doing do's and don'ts.
Yes.
You have to now have a relationship and interaction with the Spirit of God and not just, did I check the list off today? Did I do this? Did I do that? That's what children do.
Yeah.
But adults or people that are grown up know, well, nowadays I'm not too sure, but there was a time where adults knew what they were supposed to do.
Yes.
And they didn't have to be told that, well, when you're a grown man, you get married, you have children, you stay with them, you provide for them, you train them up in the ways of the Lord, you don't send them to church, you go to church with them, and not only do you go to church, you live it out in front of them.
Yes.
That's what mature people do. But immature people do this. Go to church, boy. Go to church, girl, so I can be by myself. They're always trying to carve out time for themselves because they want to play.
Yes.
I've never met so many adults that want to play so much. And I don't mean play like it's bad. I'm not talking about evil. Well, some of it's evil play. But just be irresponsible. Have no responsibilities. Of course, we all need to get away from time to time. I'm not saying that you don't take breaks. But, you know, it's just a constant thing. And that's not a sign of maturity. And so when I put these pieces together, I understood why we have a better covenant based on better promises. Because God now expects more of us because he now lives in us.
Amen.
Amen. And that's natural. But the world, or even the church world, sometimes acts as if we are still in the old covenant. We don't want to pray. We want somebody to pray for us.
That's right.
Notice how the children in the Old Testament, they did not, a lot of times, did not pray. Now, David was a person that prayed.
Yes.
He prayed. But most of them say, go to find a prophet and ask him to inquire the Lord for us.
Yes.
So we can know what we're supposed to.
That's right.
But that's, and unfortunately, that's how some of the church lives still.
Yes.
They don't want to pray and ask God and ask God for direction. Why? Well, God doesn't seem to speak to me. That's because you don't wait. All you do is, God, can you hear me? Yep, he didn't answer. I'm going to have to get somebody more spiritual to pray. No, he's training you.
Yes.
Stay there. Just like Samuel had to learn to hear the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
Samuel said, God said, Samuel. And he thought it was Eli. Yes, Eli. He said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And he called Samuel. Yes, Eli. He said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed.
Yes.
Samuel. Yes, Eli. Huh. I think God is calling him. Because I know I haven't called him. So he says, next time you hear that voice, stay there and just say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And Samuel, based on that one experience, learned to hear the voice of God. Because Samuel was one of the greatest prophets that Israel ever had. Nobody really talks about Samuel much. But Samuel was a powerful prophet. He set up schools of prophets. That's one of the things that we don't know. I mean, the school of the prophets that we see with Elijah and Elisha, Samuel did that. Because he wanted to set up a system whereby the children of Israel had people that were spiritual that they could go to. In addition to the Sanhedrin, which is the court systems, he wanted spiritual people. And so Samuel, but even the scripture says that we have more of a relationship. The Bible talks about up until John the Baptist, the kingdom of God was preached, but this is, but those that are in the kingdom are greater than all those prior. And I'm paraphrasing. And that's because the Spirit of God now comes to dwell in this. And what does this have to do with faith? This has everything to do with faith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because it's by faith we first receive the truth that the Spirit of God now dwells in us. And see, the thing about faith, it is so interesting because we have faith for certain things, but we don't have faith for all things.
All right.
In other words, we have faith for if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Most of us have faith to believe that. No, I don't care, evangelical, tongue talkers, non-tongue talkers, Catholics, you name it, whatever denominational umbrella you fall under, all of them believe that.
Yes, right.
Okay? But it's the next step. And you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I don't believe that. Or, I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I got saved.
That's right.
And they want to argue that point.
Yes. Yeah.
But the scripture clearly makes those two distinct experiences. Because he told them, stay here until, everybody say
until
you be filled with the Spirit. That means it's a separate experience.
Right.
It's not salvation. And no one would argue that Peter, James, John, and all the apostles were saved.
Yes.
Right? They wouldn't say, no, they weren't saved at the day of Pentecost. And then we know in one experience, the scripture says, Paul says, have you received the Holy Ghost, not when you believe, but since you believe. And then they're saying, we didn't meet that fella, that Holy Ghost fella. We don't know him. And then Paul said, well, then who were you baptized unto? And they said, well, just John's baptism. And he explained it to him. John baptized you unto repentance, but Jesus said, you got to be baptized in water and filled with the Spirit. And they didn't argue about it. They just received it.
Yeah.
And then they had faith for that. But then life comes. And then you have to have faith to know that God cares for you on a daily basis.
Yes.
And a lot of people say, well, you know, God has given me health and strength and he's expecting me to do this, and then they quote that famous scripture, God bless the child that has his own. You guys know where that is in the Bible, right?
that was
Billie Holiday's version. And of course, when you talk to folks on the street, man, they quote all sorts of scripture that ain't in the Bible. God bless the child that's got his own, and Lord helps them who helps themselves. That's the other one. And none of those are in the scripture because you can't help yourself. That's why he came. You can't help yourself. So we have to learn to have faith for salvation. Then we have to have faith for baptism. Water baptism, and then Holy Ghost baptism. And then you have to have faith for daily steps. And what we were talking about last week was having faith to believe the supernatural.
Yes.
That's a whole different realm of faith. Now, it takes the same faith, but it's a whole different mindset.
Yeah.
Because you have to now step out of what is the natural and get into what God is, and that is supernatural, which means he exceeds the natural laws. Most people have a problem with the scriptures because of things like Noah's flood. You know, they're still arguing whether Noah's flood happened or not. I was watching a debate, a part of a debate. I haven't watched the whole thing. It was, did you watch that? It was on Daystar. It was Bill Nye, the science guy. Remember that guy? I think he's actually from Seattle. And then there's a guy named, David Tam or something like that. And they were debating. And so Nye was arguing about the flood, whether the flood happened. And it's amazing. The scripture records it. Almost every civilization that was around has a recording of the flood, but they don't believe that the flood happened.
They don't want to.
Exactly. They don't want to. Then you take them to the Red Sea party. How in the world is the Red Sea going to part? Because God is a supernatural God. And if he says part, it has to obey him. And then, see, we don't even remember this one, but the Jordan River parted. Joshua, he may not have had enough faith to part the Red Sea, but he had enough faith to part the Jordan River. And it was dry land no matter what it was. And it parted the same way. It says the water stood on edge on both sides of the banks, and they walked across. But it takes faith beyond what we see, what we know, what we taste, what we hear, what we smell, and what we feel.
Yes, sir.
And that is very difficult, not just for the world. The church world has trouble with miracles. And it's unfortunate. And I know we've seen our share of charlatans, the fakers. But the fakers don't do away with the real.
No.
Jesus is real.
Yes.
And when you think about what Jesus did, and that's why the disciples were just aghast about everything Jesus did.
Yes.
I mean, they said, Lord, don't you care that we're drowning?
Yes.
And he get up and said, please, water, calm down, be still, be quiet. And it stopped. And then they said, who is this guy? What is he that he can talk to the wind and the waves and they obey him? Who is this guy? And no wonder Peter finally got it. He says, man, this guy's got to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. There can be no other explanation. I mean, he tells water and winds to stop. He goes up to a tree that doesn't have fruit on it and says, you're never gonna grow fruit ever again. And doesn't think twice about it and comes back the next day and Peter gets excited. Jesus knew it was gonna happen, but Peter said, hey Lord, look at the tree. You cursed, it's dead. Well, what do you expect when I tell things to do stuff? It doesn't. And that's faith. And you might say, well, that's Jesus. But Jesus gave us, and then see, notice what he says in Mark 11, was it 11, 24? Now my Bible's going to take forever to come up. I love this thing because it got so many versions. When it doesn't have an internet, it don't want to act right.
Yeah.
That's the bad thing about all these gadgets, huh?
That's it.
They're good when they work, they're bad when they don't. What is it, Mark?
Mark 11:24.
Yeah.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, ye shall have them.
Now that's right after you talk to the tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
So notice that Jesus was telling Peter, You can do exactly what I did if you believe it.
Yes, sir.
That's the key. And it's not like we're supposed to go around, I curse that tree, I curse this tree, I tell that wind to stop, I tell that to go away. See, that's where people lose it.
Yes.
Because that's what the Antichrist is going to do.
Yes.
To prove that he's something, the Bible says he's going to cause lightning or fire to fall out of the sky. And the reason why that's a false miracle is because it's a demonstration. And Jesus said to the Jews when they asked for a sign, what did he say? A wicked and an adulterous generation seeks a sign. He says, and you're not going to get one, but this one. The sign of Jonah. And then again, this is another revelation that we never would have gotten had Jesus not said this. He said, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. Some people don't want to call it a whale anymore. Have you noticed that? They want to call it a big fish. Whatever it was. Just like he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. He says, that's the only sign you're going to get. But then he turns around and he does miracles. But he didn't do it to demonstrate who he was. He did it to demonstrate how much he cared. And see, that's always the difference between demonic demonstrations and godly demonstrations. God does things to help people. The devil does it to show off.
Yes, sir.
Because he's a show off.
Yes.
But he tells Peter, if you have faith to believe. Read it again, Pastor.
Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Let's read 23. Yes. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people, when you read that, you say, well, he doesn't really mean mountain.
Yes, he does.
He means what he says, because he just told a tree to wither and die. So why is he not talking about a literal mountain? Then they say, well, how come ain't nobody ever moved a mountain? Hadn't had to. God didn't tell him to. Because you can't do it unless God instructs you to do it. You can't just go up the mountain right here and say, look, you're in my way. Get up, move. No, that's now you're trying to demonstrate something. But if God tells you, speak to that mountain and it'll move, that's when it will move. And I'll use this little illustration I like to use. This happened when my kids were little. You remember the kites we used to fly? And my youngest, well, at that time, Michael was the youngest. And we had kites, and, you know, kids never hold on to their kites. So he lost his kite, and his kite got wrapped around the wire. But it was flying way, way up. It was still windy, so it was flying in the air. And, you know, the wire is 30 feet up, so nothing I could do. So we went home and said, well, maybe tomorrow the wind will die down and it'll be down. So I got up early the next morning to see if the kite was up there, just me, by myself. And I said, man, Lord, I hope that kite's down. And sure enough, the wind blowing just as hard as it was when we left. It had not come down, not one bit. And I heard this voice say, speak to the kite and tell it to come down. And I'm thinking to myself, why not? I can't get it no other way. So I said, in Jesus' name, I command you to come down.
Uh-huh.
And guess what happened? It came down. It just slowly, slowly descended, dropped right in front of me, didn't drop over somewhere else, so I had to go climb the tree. It dropped right at my feet. And I don't say that because I have such great, because the voice told me what to do. I didn't come up with the idea, I wonder if I spoke to that kite, it would come down. I didn't come up with the idea. The Spirit of God spoke that to me. And that's the difference when it comes to the supernatural. First, and we don't always need something to speak to us like that. We have the Word that speaks to us.
Yes.
that says if we lay hands on the sick, we shall see them recover.
Yes.
Now, some of us want to know, how are they going to recover? There's where the, that doesn't, I don't need to know. I'm not a doctor anyway, so I couldn't understand. I was, my brother-in-law sent me to the store to go get some materials for, he's changing the box, right? Now, I don't understand anything about electricity. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, he's going to send me to the store and I'm going to go to the store and get somebody that don't know any more than I do. You know that store? So he said, I need you to get me an MC connector that so I can tie down these wires, and I need another breaker. Well, I knew what a breaker was, so I said, I got that one. I can get that one. He said, but it's got to be the same name brand. I was like, oh Lord. Well, I get to there, find the breaker right away, and it's the same name brand. I said, praise God. But then I can't find the connector. And then I can't find nobody who works in the area to tell me what the connector looks like. So I'm thinking to myself, oh Lord, he's going to have to come and get it himself. Because I went to the store with him when we went and got some pee. And man, he didn't have to ask nobody. He knew exactly. He went right where he was. He was getting all the stuff, throwing it in the thing. I said, man, that's amazing. When you know what you know, you know what you know. But anyway, I said, well, I'm going to have to go home, go back to the church and ask him. But I said, well, I just call him. Maybe he can explain it to me and the guy, you know? Because I found a guy, and he didn't know any more than I did. And then the guy that was in the department was on lunch. So he's like, well, you can either stay here for another half hour. Come on now. Don't do that. And I said, well, I'm going to call my brother-in-law and see. So he got on the phone. And then the guy walks up, who actually was in the department, who he explained what he needed, and he pulled it out, and then we brought it. It was the right thing. But that goes to show you that when you have understanding, you know, I don't need to understand how electricity works. I just have to do what I'm told and bring back the parts that I need, that he needed.
Yes.
I didn't have to say, and so, and this is how some of us are. God says, go pray for so-and-so. Well, Lord, you know he's got this kind of disease.
Did he ask you that?
You know, that's an incurable disease. Now you just killed your own faith.
Yes.
And you know, Lord, that they've already said he's in stage 4.
No.
Or you know, Lord, it's going to take this. And you know, we get into the details of what. Look, and so I'm just waiting for God to say, I didn't ask you all that. I just told you to go do something and leave the rest to me.
Yeah.
And we have a problem. Sometimes we're always trying to figure out how things work. You know, Anna criticizes me sometimes because she thinks I'm trying to explain things. I have no idea what I'm trying to explain. You know, like she says, what does she say? You always try to explain music equipment to somebody. You know you don't know what you're talking about. I said, I'm not trying to explain. I said, I'm just talking about what I know. I know I don't know what you know, but I know a little bit. Yeah, but you're always trying to tell people stuff and you know you don't know what you're talking about. And you know, she's right. I don't know what I'm talking about for the most part. And she said, yeah, you're right. But so much we want to get into the details. And we need our needs. We need money to pay a bill. And God, I need it by Thursday because you know that Friday, and you know, we talk to God like that. Like he's not, you know, like he's like us. You know, there's a friend of mine I was talking to him because he's planning to move. And, you know, school's getting ready to start, and he wanted to move before school started. Because why? Because if you don't move, you got to put your kids in school, and when you move, guess what? You got to take them out and put them in another school. So he didn't want to do that. And I said to him, I said, man, you guys haven't moved yet? I said, man, your kid's about to start school. Yeah. He says, I know that. I said, now I know it twice because you're telling me what I already knew. And that's what we do to God. That's what we do to God. We tell him stuff he knows.
Yes, yes.
And it's like, and then, you know, it's funny. I said, oh, you. I said, do you tell your wife that? She said, yeah. I told her, I said, now I know it twice. Now what difference does that make? I said, Lord, please help us. But that's what we do. We want to get into the inner workings. And Lord, how are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? What time are you going to do it? What method are you going to use? Who's going to, is the money coming through the mail? Is it coming through Johnny? I know Johnny's got money. He can give me money. You know, we pick people that we want to bless us. Yeah. Johnny's got money. They got money. Look at their car. They, Lord, if you speak to them, make it, no, see, there you go. You're messing with stuff.
Yes, sir.
And all you have to do is keep your eyes on him.
That's good.
Because sometimes it's not Johnny, because even though they look like they got something, sometimes they ain't got nothing either. And sometimes it's the one on the street that has no look like they have anything. And they want the ones that God is going to use. So we can't look to anybody but God. I was reading today the story of Isaac and the sacrifice. And we all know the story. How God told Abraham to go sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah, which of course is where the Temple Mount is. And Isaac knew something was up. He said, Father, it says, we got the wood. We got the knife. But where is the sacrifice? He said, God will provide the sacrifice, son. He didn't tell him he had already provided, and you're the one. He didn't tell him that. And then I looked at that story. It doesn't say that Abraham had to fight with Isaac to get him tied up and laid down on the altar. Can you believe that? I mean, nowadays, you can't even get, well, you saw my grandson, you can't even get him to sit down, let alone get tied up and put on an altar to be sacrificed.
That's true.
And God let this all happen until the very last moment. And then he says, don't do it. I said, now I know you trust me. And notice Abraham said to the servants that, hey, look, we're going to that mountain to worship, but me and the boy are coming back. That's what he told the servants after he was given the command that he was going to kill Isaac. So somehow Abraham knew something, because he knew, because why? He had already received the promise that through your seed, they were going to get this land.
Yes.
And Ishmael was already gone. Ishmael was gone. He got rid of Ishmael. Ishmael had been sent away.
Yes, sir.
So there were no more heirs through Ishmael. And he said, no, not Ishmael, Isaac. He made it very clear. He said, not Ishmael. And then, you know, the Muslims want to say, well, no, Ishmael, no. The scripture clearly says it was Isaac. And then he said, not Esau, Jacob.
Right.
He keeps breaking it down more and more. Not Ishmael, Isaac. Not this Esau, Jacob. But it took faith to believe that God would still keep his promise, even though he told you to do something that appeared to be contrary.
Yes, yes.
And that's what we have to understand when we're faced with faith situations. And in order for us to get faith in every arena has to be challenged. So that we can now no longer depend on our own understanding, but trust in the Lord. So the arena of finances will be challenged to see who's your provider.
Right.
Your job, your business, your customers, or me. Because you know how it is. The job is good until they lay you off.
Right.
And that's happening all the time now. The business is good until it slows down. The customers are faithful until they're not. And there's no reason why they're not, but they're just not. And that's what I have to constantly remind myself. Lord, yes, these people owe me money. Yes, I'm going to call them to pay me. But if they don't have an answer, you do. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm not going to try to collect from them. But I'm not going to hammer them and beat them down. Because I don't want to be hammered and beat down when I don't have any money and somebody's trying to collect from me. Yeah, are you with me here?
Oh, yeah.
And that's so important because we are treated like we treat others. I mean, the scripture said the man that was forgiven the 10,000 talents and then went out and treated somebody, mistreated the other guy that owed him 100 pence or denarii, I think was what they said. And he says, you wicked servant. I just forgave you 10,000 and you can't even be patient with him on 100? He said, let's undo this. You're going to jail. Because you didn't learn your lesson. So he had to be taught who the master was. And that's why we have to go through what we go through. Now, that's not to say that we have to go through everything ourselves. But when it comes to faith, we have to trust God beyond circumstances. And then we have to see and trust that God can do something that's beyond our understanding.
Amen.
You know, the tough thing, and this is, I'm going to say this and then we'll close. The tough thing about when you people are sick or battling some kind of a sickness, it's not always their faith, but it's hearing the unbelief from others.
Yes.
And that's why sometimes you just can't tell some people anything.
That's right.
Just don't tell them, man. Because they'll have you in the grave in 20 minutes. So, oh, brother, I didn't know it was that bad. How long you got left? You know, they're ready to do the eulogy right there. And so you don't tell those people. I'm telling you, there are some believers, unfortunately, that you cannot share things that you're standing with God, on the word of God for.
Amen.
Because they won't get it.
Amen.
They won't get it, they don't believe it. They want to, but they just can't. Amen? And we all know people like that.
Yes.
So we have to be careful for our own faith's sake that we don't tell everybody everything. Because everybody is not mature enough. Everybody say mature.
Mature.
To handle faith where God is taking us. Amen? See, if you told somebody, if we told somebody, I'm believing God for $1.5 million to pay off or to buy some property.
Yes.
But don't you know there's about half the folks that would not talk to you anymore? Because all that, nobody need that much money.
Amen.
You don't, God don't need that. Look, see, you're touching things you have no business touching.
Yeah.
If you don't believe it, leave it alone and let somebody who does believe it, believe it.
Yes.
And that's what you get. You tell people in the church that can't believe it and they slash the vision all up.
Yes, sir.
And then not only that, they take the pieces they slashed and pass it out to their friends. So that they can slash it some more. That's why you have to have a group that you can trust and pray and touch and agree with. But everybody's part of that group.
Amen.
Everybody did not get to go to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yes.
Andrew was not up there.
Amen.
Right.
I don't know why, but he wasn't. Peter, James, and John.
Yes.
They were everywhere.
Yes.
And the tradition tells us that John was the youngest of the whole group.
Yes.
They say some say he was like a teenager or something.
Oh.
Early 20s. And John was all up in the Kool-Aid. He was everywhere. Everywhere Jesus was. And he was even laying on Jesus' shoulder, you know, the Bible said breast. But you can't lay on people's breasts on the side. He's got to be leaning on his shoulder. I don't know what he's doing. Anyway. But he was close.
Yeah.
That's my point. And you could tell they had an issue with John. Because when Peter went through his three, do you love me, Peter? he turned to John and said, what about this guy? What are you going to do with this guy? And he said, that ain't none of your business, Peter. He said, but if I want him to lay and stay here until I get back, what's that to you? Another one of us. Well, I know what he said to me, but I want to know what he said to you.
Yeah.
In somebody else's business. And Jesus didn't go for that. He told you your word, and then he told the other one his word. But you don't have any business touching his word. That's not your word. And we all want to touch everybody's word. So we have to be careful for our own faith's sake to not share our even our own fears and our own doubts. Don't go with them. Don't run with them. Because even in faith, standing in faith, we get fearful.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
What happens if it's not going to work? We think that. You know, that's why sometimes we can't sleep at night. Gosh, Lord, you know, this thing got to be paid tomorrow. It ain't here. What are we going to do? I learned a long time ago, I'm not losing sleep over stuff I have no control over. As I'm sleeping, I'm not going, and if I ain't going to sleep, I'm going to get up and pray. I'm not going to stew. Because, you know, you think about it for hours. And, you know, the old clock's ticking. We used to hear that. Now they don't have ticking clocks anymore. But it's just ticking in our minds. But we have to cast those things out. Cast and say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust you. I just cast this anxiety, this stress on you. I'm not going to carry it. I refuse to carry it. Satan, I rebuke you and I rebuke fear. Your word says you have not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You said don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Lord, I'm making my request known to you. It says cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. So all that stuff, and that keeps your mind out of that.
Yes, Lord.
It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And we so easily back into our own understanding.
My Lord.
We fall back into it. Lord, what happens is this. No, I'm not going to let myself think that. I'm not going to trust in the flesh. No, I'm not going to trust God only as long as I can see God. And then when I can't see how he's going to do it, I don't trust him anymore. And that's dangerous.
Amen.
Because you're really not trusting God. You're only trusting in what you see. And the scripture says we walk by faith, not by what we see. And that's such a hard place, but that's what God requires.
Amen.
If we're going to walk in the Spirit and walk towards perfection, we don't know what perfection is. But we have to be led into it.
Yes.
Because we're not perfect. We can't be. But if we're following him perfectly, even that seems a contradiction,
yes,
he will lead us into perfection.
Yes.
And it takes time. We have to be led.
Yes.
And we have to be sensitive. But more than anything, it has to be a part of our faith life. Amen?
Yes.
This is the challenge. This is the faith walk. Every step of the way, we have to believe God. And I said this to my Bible study group, and I said this, God presents the word to us. And then he asks us this question, do you believe this? God shall meet all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? And if we have to qualify that scripture, we don't believe it. In other words, as well, that's no. So whenever you start a sentence with well, when it comes to the word of God, you don't believe it. You want to put a condition on it. And there's no condition. God shall meet all your needs according to his riches, not yours, in glory by Christ Jesus. And you just have to believe it. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand. We're going on, going on. But we just have to remember that faith requires us to stretch out beyond our limits, our own limitations. And God has no limitations. Amen. Mark 11, 23 and 24 tells you that. All things are possible to them that believe, if you don't doubt. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.